Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show all across our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whole lot to do today. John Rothstein going to stop by in about 15 to 20 minutes from now. Glenn Macnow will join us as the little QB carousel, wrapping up that segment, as he joins us an hour 20 from now, as we'll preview a little bit of the Eagles' upcoming season as they win the Super Bowl a year ago with a 10-point lead, and they didn't find a way to get the job done. And then Bonta Hill is going to join us at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, as we will chat a little bit about the San Francisco 49ers and their confusing quarterback situation. Because Hickey, we'll get to Lamar Jackson in just a second. By the way, Hot Take Hickey is producing this fine extravaganza for the next
one. I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Yeah, I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey, and I also don't know about this 49ers quarterback situation. And I want to circle back to something that you said yesterday, and I let it go in the moment because I think we were up against it and I was running out of time, but I just want to circle back to something. We're both in agreement, correct, that if Brock Purdy is healthy, from all indications and everything that was said this week, that Brock Purdy, if he's healthy, is going to be the week one starting quarterback for the 49ers. We're in agreement there, correct, Amundo?
For the most part, assuming he looks the way he did when he's playing, yeah.
But what really is going to change?
Well, I think Trey Lance has a chance to beat him out. Like, I think they played the best quarterback. I don't think it's like a lockstep and barrel like Patrick Mahomes is starting.
Can you stop being a pain in the ass here?
No, I'm just
yes,
asking,
or no,
I'm being serious.
Do you expect Brock Purdy, if he's healthy, to be the starting quarterback after the 49ers basically told you that this week?
Sure.
No stipulations,
but I think there's a chance it's Trey Lance.
I thought that was an easy question. I thought we were in agreement with this. I'm not even getting
to
the difficult part yet.
I don't think he's going to be healthy, but okay. Yes.
If
he's
healthy, fair.
If he's going to play well in training camp, no limitations, beats out Trey Lance, he'll be the week one starter.
That is fair. You don't think he's going to be healthy. You're probably right on that. The question was, if he's healthy, will he be the week one starting quarterback? And I guess you said yes. So now let's get into the part that I'm a little confused what you said yesterday. And I want to know what your reasoning is. So yesterday we were quickly having a conversation and I said, I don't believe the Rappaport report that if, like, they're potentially that Sam Darnold could be the week one starting quarterback. Like, let's just say Hickey's right. Brock Purdy is not healthy. With all that they gave up for Trey Lance, I just can't see A, Trey Lance being that bad or Sam Darnold being that much better with the investment that you made in Trey Lance, with Sam Darnold basically doing nothing in this league. Like at least Brock Purdy went on a little bit of a run. Now, it's kind of crazy that Brock Purdy, out of the three, has been the most successful quarterback. But I would have to think that if Purdy isn't healthy, it absolutely is going to be Trey Lance as the starting quarterback. And yesterday, you said that you could believe that it would be Sam Darnold. So, not going to yell at you. I don't think I'm going to fight you on this too much. But I'm just curious, because I was stunned by that. I was really stunned by it, what your reasoning is why Sam Darnold would be the guy over Trey Lance if Brock Purdy isn't healthy to go come week one.
Because Kyle Shanahan doesn't give a you-know-what. He will play the best quarterback. He don't care if it's the first pick in the draft, if it's the last pick in the draft, if it's a guy who's been proclaimed by two different teams to be a bust, he is the coach that I think cares the least amount about the quarterback position of any coach in the NFL. He's going to play whoever is the best. I could easily see a situation where if Sam Darnold comes in there, does what is asked, is competent, maybe even a little ahead because he has a little more NFL experience than Trey Lance, I could easily see Kyle Shanahan saying, okay, your week one start, I don't care that we gave up all this draft capital for Trey Lance. It's kind of, you know, a dead loss anyway. Now that doesn't really impact me going forward. We're going to play the best quarterback that gives us the best chance to win no matter what we gave up to him, no matter what we're paying him.
With now there only being three preseason games and training camp pretty much being irrelevant, as I like to say, or monotonous, what is there really to show? Like, what can you really show when you have two unproven quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, who's proven to be a bust, Trey Lance, who's barely been able to get on the field? Do you actually buy that in three preseason games that Sam Darnold is going to be that much better? Like, so much better that he's going to be the starting quarterback over Trey Lance. Like, that's for me where maybe fundamentally we just differentiate, because even though we talk a lot about training camp and we talk a lot about the preseason, a lot of it is a bunch of hogwash to me.
I mean, I'm a Trey Lance guy, so I want him to see him succeed. I think he's a lot of talent, but we're talking about a guy who, I mean, really both quarterbacks with him and Sam Darnold are both inconsistent. Obviously, we've seen Sam Darnold more because he's been in the NFL a lot longer.
Yeah.
But again, Kyle Shanahan is a guy who makes his offense very simple, which is part of the reason why Brock Purdy came in there and did not miss a beat, and then they were in the NFC title game. Like, it's, you're not asking your quarterback to do a lot. So if you're talented, and Sam Darnold was asked to do a lot of the Jets, failed, was asked to do a good amount of the Panthers, failed, if you're asking him to do one or two things, look here, look there, this is kind of, you know...
Can he do that, though?
We're going to find out. I mean, I have no idea. I think it can't be that hard to do, to be honest.
Again, I think we have an idea. I think we have an idea. And I know the Jets situation wasn't ideal. I know the Panther situation wasn't ideal. But Sam Darnold stinks as a quarterback. He stinks. I know this would be the best situation he'd ever be in his career. The guy just doesn't have it anymore. We thought he had it when he was in that Rose Bowl up against Penn State. And really, that was the peak of his athletic career. And I know he went second overall in the draft or third overall. And ever since then, he's just been a disaster. Like, when I think Sam Darnold, Hickey, I think of seeing ghosts and I think of him getting mono. That's what I think of Sam Darnold. And I'll defend Trey Lance, which is ironic that I'm defending Trey Lance right now, because I never thought he should have been the pick third overall to the 49ers. But has Trey Lance really been given much of an opportunity? Like, if I'm a Niners fan and Purdy isn't able to go week one, I kind of know what Sam Darnold is. I still don't know what Trey Lance is, because the first year, Garoppolo did a decent job, right? They ended up getting back to an NFC title game. And last year, unfortunately, he got hurt. And sure, the times he's been on the field, Brock Purdy has looked like the better quarterback. But the conversation here is, if Purdy isn't able to go, Lance or Darnold, and I just have an impossible time just imagining Sam Darnold, who's been so putrid, in a short amount of time of, what, three preseason games where you don't even know if you're going to play all three, and training camp, that he's going to be able to be that much better than Trey Lance. And for me, I didn't expect to start the show this way, and we just started getting into this conversation. For me, if I'm the Niners and it's between Lance and Darnold, I think you owe it to Trey Lance where this is your last opportunity. Because through the first 2 years, unfortunately, we've barely been able to see him. But if this is genuinely a serious scenario and a realistic scenario of Purdy's hurt, that it could be Darnold over Lance, I think it tells you that inside the building, Trey Lance must be a disaster. And I don't know that for a fact, but with all you gave up, if you're actually contemplating going to Darnold over Lance, if Purdy can't give it a go at the start of the season, that there's no going back from that. There's no finding a way to get Trey Lance to eventually be that guy in San Francisco. And they moved up to 3 to go get him. I thought it was unnecessary. And I've said this from the start. When that report came out where Kyle Shanahan's tattoo buddy, Chris Sims, said it's going to be Mac Jones, and then eventually ended up being Trey Lance, I think that Kyle Shanahan, this has been talked about before and reported on before, he was talked into drafting Trey Lance. And I think now he's going back to who he originally wanted, and that may not even have been the right choice. And I know you were arguing for them to draft Justin Fields, and that would have been a better pick with the way that things are turning out so far. But I really do think you could argue now that the thoughts of Kyle Shanahan pre-draft and where they initially were, where they traded up to 3, are starting to creep back into his cabeza where he's like, well, I wasn't even all in on this guy anyway. Now, what saves the Niners, they have such a good team that Shanahan's in no danger of losing his job, and neither is John Lynch. Usually when you swing and miss with all that you gave up to go get the 3rd overall pick to draft the quarterback, if you usually swing and miss that quickly, then you're usually out of a job. But Shanahan and Lynch, clearly, Hickey, are in no danger of losing their jobs with the success that they've had on the field.
No, absolutely not. And they've shown you they can win no matter who's that quarterback. I would agree with this. If Trey Lance can't beat out Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy can't play, and if Ian Rappaport's report of basically Purdy not being ready until week 4 or 5 is correct, and you're going to have the first month of a new starter and Trey Lance can't beat out Sam Darnold.
Well, you know what that means.
That's problematic.
You know what that means. It means either the Colts or the Commanders are going to have Trey Lance. That's what that means.
I would take Trey Lance. I'm in.
Yeah, of course you are.
I'm in and take a flyer.
Because you double down on everything when it doesn't work.
But to give you a quick piece of trivia, to go back to the initial question of Sam Darnold having success with the 49ers, why I could see it. Patrick Mahomes, through a player's first 16 games, a quarterback's first 16 games, has the most passing yards. Do you know who is second on that list? The quarterback, through the first 16 career games, passing yards, has the second most passing yards in their career.
Is it Sam Darnold?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It is Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins stinks. But guess what? In his first 16 career games with who? Kyle Shanahan set an NFL record until Patrick Mahomes came and shattered that. So my point is, yes, if Trey Lance can't beat out Sam Darnold, that's concerning. If Sam Darnold started the first week,
time.
I think he would have success.
Give me that.
Mullins has the second most passing yards in NFL history for a quarterback's first 16 career starts,
okay,
behind only Patrick Mahomes. They came in San Francisco. Nick Mullins has not been heard of since he left San Francisco. But that's what Kyle Shanahan was able to do with basically a guy who's now a journeyman backup, borderline third-string quarterback. All he did was throw the ball around the yard.
Gotcha. If you're telling me that I should believe that Sam Darnold's going to be this stud, that's tough for me to believe, even with Kyle Shanahan.
I saw Brock Purdy coming.
Fair enough. But then why can't he make it work with Trey Lance? That's
fair question.
That's the retort.
And that may be a more Trey Lance problem than a Kyle Shanahan problem.
And he really hasn't been given that much of an opportunity yet. Or maybe it goes back to that Shanahan really just doesn't believe that much in Trey Lance. And if that was the case, he should have never been selected 3rd overall. John Rothstein joins us next.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat a little college hoops right now, and we do so with college basketball insider from CBS Sports. You can always check out his podcast as well, the College Hoops Today podcast. It does a great job as a content creator for FanDuel Sportsbook, and that is our pal, John Rothstein. John, appreciate the time. How are you?
Great, Zach. Great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know probably most of my listening audience don't care, so this is a personal question right out of the gate, but being a grad of Temple, I saw you were all over this Charlton Young story where he's not going to be the coach. What the heck happened today?
Well, Zach, you know, we'll start obviously with your alma mater, and, you know, Charlton Young was offered the opportunity to be the head coach at Temple University. He talked over the offer and obviously the opportunity with his family. And Charleston Young, as you know, has some reservations, you know, initially just from not being from Philadelphia, understanding maybe the landscape as well as some other places. But he loved Temple. He loved the brand. Obviously, he was familiar with the brand from John Chaney. But due to the resignation of Temple's president yesterday, you know, Charleston Young opted to pull himself out of, you know, consideration for the head coaching vacancy in Temple. So your alma mater, which you and I both grew up with, you know, really as one of the programs that was always associated really at the apex of college basketball, is in a critical period right now. You know, I have been very outspoken the last couple of years about how Temple's decision to prioritize its football program has really set back the men's basketball program. And I know that intercollegiate athletics is driven by college football, but we are seeing now the results of the decisions that Temple's athletic department has made continue to weaken and really hurt the brand of the front porch of the university, which to me is the men's basketball program.
Personally, I don't have a problem with them being in the American Athletic Conference over the A-10, but this is, you're right, a crucial time for Temple basketball because they've lost their identity and they have lost their way, and it's a messy job. The campus is a mess. The president was a mess. And I'm just wondering who's going to come in and save it. I don't think it's an attractive job. That's why I've been advocating for a young, hungry, kind of unproven coach who's going to be motivated in Adam Fisher. So where do you think they pivot from here?
He's definitely a name that was obviously under consideration before they shifted the focus of the search to Charleston Young. But to me, you know, the problem that you have with Temple is, for all intents and purposes, not so much the job, but the league that the job is in. And look, I understand what you're saying from the American Athletic Conference, but now you're in a scenario where a year from now, next season, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF are no longer in the league. So if you're Temple and you're trying to get your fan base excited, you are going to be looking at a schedule that has UAB, UTSA, North Texas, Rice, South Florida, Tulsa, Wichita State. That is a hard, hard sell if you're looking at a program that obviously has traditional rivalries in the A-10.
But what's the appeal outside of being just closer to schools in the A-10 anymore? Because they only had one team in the tourney this year.
But if Temple goes to the Atlantic 10, it automatically becomes a flagship program for that conference. It becomes one of the best jobs in that league. All of a sudden, you start to see Temple, VCU, Dayton, St. Louis as programs that can anchor an entire league. I mean, you know your history. John F. Kennedy said it best, the rising tide lifts all boats. If Temple were to prioritize its basketball and was in the Atlantic 10, I don't just think the program would be more successful, but you'd be in a situation where I think you could attract really, really qualified candidates to be the steward of this program. And look, you know, Fran Dunphy, you know, who stopped coaching at Temple in 2019, led the Owls to two NCAA tournament appearances in his last 4 years. Temple isn't just a little bit away from going to two NCAA tournaments in the last 4 years. It's almost like the first scene of Star Wars in a galaxy a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's where Temple basketball is right now from the NCAA tournament.
Well, this is a depressing conversation so far with one of my favorites in John Rothstein. Let me ask you about Penn State. They have hired Mike Rhodes. That's officially announced. I know you're all over that story. What does Mike bring to Penn State once they've lost Mike Shrewsbury?
Mike's a proven coach. Mike, I think, is made for the Big Ten. He's a Pennsylvania native. He will obviously understand the infrastructure of that job. I think Mike, like he did at VCU, will be able to get his teams to overachieve. And I think, again, he will fit right in with the fabric of the Big Ten. So I think this is an outstanding hire for Penn State and Patrick Kraft. This was the right hire.
Would they really ever have a shot to keep Mike Shrewsbury? Was it just inevitable that he was going to go to Notre Dame?
Penn State was going to make a large financial commitment to Mike Shrewsbury if he stayed as the head coach of Penn State. But I think when you look at the landscape of things and you look at the ACC right now, there has never been a better time to be a head coach in the ACC than right now. You've got a period of transition at Duke. You've got a period of transition at North Carolina. Jim Boeheim just retired. Virginia has not won an NCAA tournament game since 2019 when it won the national title. And Florida State, who was at the top of this league from 2016 to 2021, has missed the last two NCAA tournaments. Take all those things into consideration. Take also into consideration that Micah Shrewsbury is from Indiana and can obviously play a similar brand of basketball at Notre Dame like we saw this year at Penn State, and I think it was too much to pass up.
I'm glad that you mentioned Duke and UNC. We know Duke was expected to be a big player in this tourney, and they didn't go as far as what people expected. UNC was in the championship game last year, missed the tourney this year. What's the future of those two blue bloods with what you see now with Coach Davis and Coach Shire?
Well, you know, I'm working on my rough being 45 for after, obviously, the national championship game. And, you know, I'm going to be updating this every day, Zach, with the transfer portal, with transfers, with guys coming and going from the NBA draft. But North Carolina will not be ranked in the top 25. And Duke, which obviously is going to bring in some really good young talent, has some guys returning, is not obviously probably going to be in the top 10 because, you know, Duke's going to lose. We anticipate both Kyle Filipowski and Derek Lively. Derek Whitehead announced today. So I think John Shire did a great job at Duke this year. Obviously not the ending that you want, but there is a different feel now at the top of the ACC. No Boeheim, no Roy Williams, no Mike Krzyzewski. Virginia hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2019. New coach at Notre Dame. There's a lot in transition right now in the ACC. But ironically enough, and I wrote this today in my daily column, The Breakfast Buffet, Miami is becoming a flagship program in the ACC because of what we're seeing from the Hurricanes. Look at last year. You go to the Elite Eight, you have a lead against Kansas, the eventual national champion at the half. Kansas plays pound for pound, inch for inch, the best half I've seen a team play in nearly 20 years on this beat. You lose, there's no shame in that. You lose Charlie Moore, you lose Cam Augustie, you lose Sam Woodenberg as a stretch five, and the Hurricanes take things a step further this year and make it to the Final Four.
If Larrañaga wins these next two games, takes down UConn, and then defeats the winner of FAU San Diego State, you think there's a chance he retires?
Common sense would say that, but if Jim Larrañaga retires, what is he going to do? He just signed a new contract. He's in a situation where he told me he wants to finish out his new contract before he opts to retire. There's still years on that, and I understand going out as a champion, but he also wants something to do every day while if he loves coaching. And look right now at this Miami team, Zach. You've got a team, obviously, that is dynamic in the backcourt. They've got more guards than Shawshank. Isaiah Wong can come back, obviously, for an additional year of eligibility. You can get back Nigel Pack. You can get back Bensley Joseph and Wilga Poplar. And you can get back Norchad Omier. We've got a scenario where Miami could be right back in the same situation next season.
How about the future of Villanova? 1 year removed without Jay Wright, Kyle Neptune, their head coach.
As pivotal a spring recruiting period as Villanova has had in a really long time. Now, why do I say that? Obviously, Murphy's Law hit Villanova this year. We know that. We understand that. There were injuries to Justin Moore and Cam Whitmore. Jordan Longino had injuries. We understand all of that, and that affected Villanova's opportunity to be the best team it could be. But you're looking at the Big East right now, and you're looking at a conference that is getting progressively better. We have one team in the Final Four in UConn. Sean Miller's back at Xavier. Shaka Smart's bringing back everybody at Marquette. Creighton should be right back in the top 10 to start the preseason. And the school that made the best hire of the coaching carousel was a school that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in 23 years, and that's St. John's, by hiring Rick Pitino, who is pound for pound, inch for inch, the best coach in the sport today, not named Bill Self. So now all of a sudden, all those teams are going to be projected to finish ahead of Villanova. And I didn't mention Ed Cooley, who now, if you're taking Providence to 7 of the last 9 NCAA tournaments, is going to be attached to a significantly more powerful brand than he was in his native Rhode Island at Georgetown.
Wrap it up with John Rothstein on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know the Big Ten sent 8 teams to the tournament. They only had one make it to the Sweet 16. They don't have a national championship since Michigan State. What was that, in the early 2000s? How do you kind of look at the Big Ten right now?
Well, I think when you look at the Big Ten, we know obviously the volume is there to get a lot of teams in the NCAA tournament. But the facts are the facts, Zach. Big Ten the last 3 years, 26 teams in the NCAA tournament. One has made the Elite Eight. That tells you all you need to know from a percentage standpoint. And look, there has been a lot of talk about the dynamics that are going to be presented when UCLA and USC join the Big Ten in the year. I think you could make the argument now that UCLA and USC's got the number one point guard in the country coming in next year, Isaiah Collier, but UCLA has become a perennial top five, top 10 team under Mick Cronin. They went to 3 straight Sweet 16s, obviously went to the Final Four 2 years ago. They are going to help the Big Ten in terms of having a formidable contender that is proven in the NCAA tournament. That's enough something to keep an eye on as we flip the page here in another season.
Looking like Grant McCaslin's going to wind up with Texas Tech. That's been the expectation everywhere. Your reaction to that move, assuming it goes down?
Logical move. Grant McCaslin's done a great job at North Texas. You know, I think obviously, you know, if he is not the head coach at Texas Tech, it would be a major, major surprise. But, you know, when you get in the Big 12 and you add Houston and you add games in Provo on the road, and in BYU, and you add Cincinnati to an already loaded conference, you better be ready to come in firing and firing at a high level if you're Texas Tech, because you have had Tubby Smith won a national championship, Chris Beard went to a title game, and Mark Adams went to a Sweet 16. So I think Grant McCaslin is the logical choice at Texas Tech, but he'll have his work cut out, and as any coach would in the Big 12.
What's going to decide FAU San Diego State on Saturday evening?
How can FAU handle San Diego State's physicality? And here's another thing that is really interesting when I think about this game here, Zach. San Diego State has beaten Alabama, the number one of number one seeds, and Creighton back-to-back. And Matt Bradley, the best player on San Diego State from an offensive perspective, has only scored a combined 8 points and has shot 3 of 17 from the field. That tells me San Diego State does not need its star to play at an elite level to beat some of the best teams in this tournament. If Matt Bradley can get back into an offensive rhythm, I think the Aztecs got a great chance to be playing Monday night.
UConn's been as dominant as Baylor was a few years ago in this tournament. They've just gone on these incredible stretches of just great 20-minute runs. In this tournament, UConn, Miami, all know what Miami did to get here, coming on back against Texas, and we know how loaded Miami is. What type of game do you expect between UConn and Miami?
Really competitive. I don't think Miami has an answer for UConn's depth. I don't think Miami has an answer for UConn's size, but somewhere along the way here, UConn is going to have to deal with the four-guard look that Miami presents, and that means that Alex Caravan, or somebody playing the four spot, is going to have to guard a Jordan Miller, is going to have to guard a Wugga Poplar. That, to me, is the big key. And, you know, we're also going to have to see, you know, if Miami's guards, who have had some great shooting performances in this NCAA tournament, can go over the top of UConn's defense.
Last thing I'll ask you, John Rothstein, before we let you run. When it comes to people that get excited for this tournament from a media standpoint, it's you, John Fanta, and then also Bill Raftery in whatever order you want. When you hear people talk about this Final Four, you being one of those guys that are so excited when it comes to college basketball in this tourney, and you hear people go, oh, the Final Four is going to suck because FAU and San Diego State's in it. This isn't going to be a good Final Four. How do you respond to people that say that?
Florida Atlantic was picked 5th in the Conference USA preseason poll. Florida Atlantic won 32 combined games in the 2 years prior to this one. It now has 35 wins. San Diego State, prior to this NCAA tournament, did not have an NCAA tournament win under Brian Dutcher. And so much has been made about the fact that we are seeing a continuous level of separation between power conferences and non-power conferences. The NCAA tournament tells you that that does not determine what is going to happen in the greatest event in sports. We've got one team from Conference USA. We've got one team from the Mountain West in the Final Four. And on the other side, you've got a UConn team that all of a sudden is now being looked at as a heavy favorite to win this thing. And it was a four seed who was not projected as a top 16 seed during the mock bracket reveal in February. And you got a Miami team, okay, that lost three starters from an Elite Eight team last season. This is not Duke. This is not Carolina. It's Miami. So what's my answer to those people, Zach? It's real simple. The optics are what the optics are, but you have to embrace the unexpected. And college basketball is where the unexpected becomes the ordinary. And remember, when you see a team pick fifth in Conference USA and make the Final Four, and when you see a team who doesn't have an NCAA tournament win under its head coach from the Mountain West make the Final Four, you just have to remind yourself, it's not anarchy. It's just college basketball.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So Hickey was like just rushing to tell me a story right before we were getting back to break. Explain to me what you were just saying in my ear.
Okay, so this goes back to people disagreeing with my Trey Lance thing. But anyway, going forward. So Pat McAfee.
Just real quickly to reset it. Hickey is saying that he would take a flyer on Trey Lance. Like, I made some joke that if Trey Lance does not work out, Hickey will, his team will be all over Trey Lance or the Washington Commanders because it seems like they just love to recycle, I don't want to call it other people's trash, but other people's failed players. That's what the Commanders and that's what the Colts pretty much do. And right away, I go to break, and the first thing that I see are two tweets back to back, one by a Slick Reynolds who says, so let me get this straight. Hot take Hickey would take Trey Lance, but not Lamar Jackson, which he got you there. And then James Copeland tweets, when did Hickey turn into the Jamarcus Russell of sports radio? My goodness, bless his heart. Which I actually think that's a compliment to you.
No, it is not. No. Bless your heart is the nice way of saying something else.
Saying you're Jamarcus Russell. That means you were at one point perceived to be the number one overall pick.
Or the biggest bust in maybe NFL history.
And, depends, you know, how you want to look at it.
I would say more people look at that than the positive. Oh, yeah, people thought he was good enough to be number one.
I just think you got to be more positive. You got to have an outlook like Zach Gelb. Anyway, you got to find the better part out of people and what they mean rather than just the nasty. But so you were telling me right before we came back from break what?
So following that theme. So earlier today, Pat McAfee on Twitter is doing a contest. He's giving away money. 20 different Twitter winners will win $500. Here's what you got to do. You basically got to retweet Pat McAfee's video, free advertising for him, reply to the tweet by tagging someone and saying something nice to someone and then including their own Venmo. So if you win, Pat can send you the money. And Michael Waller does tweet randomly to me. He goes, your takes aren't always terrible. That was the say something nice about someone part of the contest. So I appreciate Michael for singling me out there.
So basically you have to like lie to someone?
Well, Pat said, you know, hey, say something nice about somebody. So Michael that usually took it would as not an opportunity say... to, almost as a backhanded compliment of,
yeah,
hey, your takes are bad most of the time, but in this case, they're not always terrible. So I hope you win, Michael. I hope you win. I say that seriously, by the way, not sarcastic. I do hope you win some money.
So retweet this video, reply saying something nice to somebody, put the easiest way to pay you in the post as well. Now, was the impetus of this, of saying something nice to someone that you usually would not say something nice to?
That could be up to the user. I don't know. Me and Michael have battled it out on Twitter.
Oh, really?
In the overnight days.
The overnight days? What are you talking about?
That's, well, like, not like recently, but like, you know, in
previous
shows.
You've done like, what, eight overnight shows?
Previous shows, me and him have gotten back on. He's a big college football fan, so, you know, we push back and forth.
Oh, so he's a hot take cookie hater.
Sure, I guess. Yeah.
But he comes back for more.
Well, that's it, yeah. You know, I would say it's all cordial, but, you know.
He likes a dysfunctional relationship.
We like to agree but disagree on our views on whatever we're talking about.
Okay, gotcha.
Like most people, I guess, I interact with on Twitter these days.
See? It's the brand of hot take, Kiki. People, I will say this. Ever since we started calling you hot take, Kiki, people love to track your predictions and wait for them to be wrong. Or whenever there's something dumb that your football team does or your university does, my mentions and your mentions, they fill up right away. Be like if we went to the lines and it was like seven lines deep right when we go to break on a segment. That's what it basically turns out to be on Twitter. The moment when something controversial happens with a team that you root for, or Hickey makes this big claim and then the exact opposite happens like 5 minutes later.
One of the busiest days I've ever had on Twitter, the most interaction I've ever seen, was a few weeks ago when the Panthers traded up to the number one overall spot and the Colts missed out.
Yeah.
And everybody, I swear,
check it in,
really, you know, was showing their concern, was being kind, knowing that I desperately wanted Bryce Young in the number one overall pick. They really were very nice that day. Let's just say, did not take joy and revel in the pain I was going through.
By the way, I think that could be my favorite day in the history of my time here at CBS Sports Radio, because I was seeing all the messages right away. And some were dancing on your grave. Other, I think, were like sarcastically saying, hey, I hope you're okay. And they just didn't really hope you were okay. And all I remember is sitting in the newsroom, looking at you, you not saying a word, and I didn't want to say the first word, for like 20 minutes. And then eventually just looked at you, and I'm like, you going to say anything? And you're like, this bleep, 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 bleep. And then we walked into the studio and did the show, and I thought it was a wonderful day. I thought it was great.
That was...
Don't curse.
No. I don't want to say anything that's a actual hot take. That, though, may have been worse than when the Colts lost to the Jaguars in week 18 of 2021 and missed out on the playoffs.
Well, yeah, here's why. Here's why it's worse.
It is.
You at least had some hours for it to marinate. Like, that was a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yes, it was.
So we don't do the show until 6 p.m. the next day. So you had some time to process it. This was in the moment, and you had to sit in the newsroom where I made the comparison. You were kind of like the dead body at the wake where everyone was coming up to you and just viewing you.
And I would argue sometimes maybe that the more time you have to let it marinate, the worse it actually is. At least sometimes when the news happens, you just rip off the Band-Aid and just go from there. To sit around all day on Sunday hearing everyone laugh at the Colts. Monday morning, wake up, everyone laughing at the Colts. Have to dread coming in here knowing all 4 hours are going to be laughing at the Colts. I would argue maybe that waiting time is actually worse.
Yeah, well, you'd be wrong.
Just because it lasted longer than having the instant reaction of, hey, your team made a colossal mistake, and now every plan I had in my head for the last 2 months has vanished in the span of 30 seconds.
No, you'd be wrong. Just like how you were wrong about the Colts that year and just how you were wrong about Bryce Young being somehow finding his way to Indianapolis. Anyway, can I give some... Wait, what is the wait? You gave me the Brian Windhorst two fingers. Are you this dumb? Like, are you this delusional where you're still thinking there's a chance that Bryce Young's going to Indy?
I did see something today.
Oh, stop it.
From a gentleman we both know.
Who?
That maybe said, okay, like,
who?
Maybe there's a chance. It was from Jake Assman, who was discussing the possibility of the Texans trading for Lamar Jackson, which would mean Lamar Jackson off the board.
I'm pretty sure I saw the tweet. He said something along the lines, the Texans won't do this.
Yes.
But they should pursue
it. Correct.
So that's how, and I love Jake, but that's how low you're stooping to when a guy that covers the Texans is telling you this isn't going to happen, but it should happen. That's, and then also that they're going to call the Colts to do the trade, and they wouldn't just call the Raiders, so you don't have to see the guy in the division.
No. Well, the Ravens would get the pick. You give the number two overall pick to go get Lamar Jackson.
But then the Ravens would be drafted a quarterback anyway.
Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Maybe that they'll go the veteran route. Maybe they like Anthony Richardson more than Bryce Young for whatever godforsaken reason.
You know what's funny? I didn't even process that would happen before the draft. I keep on thinking that this Lamar deal is going to get done after the draft.
And I'm with you, and this is a 1% chance. But,
and also, a little advice to Lamar, time to get off Twitter. It's very simple. You put your side of it out there. You made it known in a smart way that when Harbaugh sat down at the meeting, that, okay, I requested a trade on March 2nd, so good job out of you. And then you set the record straight last night, or gave your side of it, that you were hurt last year and you weren't not playing in the playoff game and down the stretch because of the fact that you were annoyed you didn't have a contract, and you said you need 100% PCL, and if you didn't have that, then you'd be doing a disservice to your teammates. You have now gotten everything out there and set the record straight. It's now time to step off Twitter, check your ego at the door, go hire an agent, and figure out your departure from Baltimore, because let's be real, you don't want to be in Baltimore anymore, and I think the Ravens are content with letting you go. So it's really time. You got everything out there. I don't think you need to add more fuel to the fire now, because there's really nothing much else for you to clarify at this point. So my advice to Lamar, and you won't listen, you don't need to debate with all these idiots on Twitter. You put everything you need to put out there. You've gave your side of the story. Now, go work behind the scenes on either, and this is Agent Lamar, getting a new deal or getting another team to at least be interested in you and have a conversation with you. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.